Folks, welcome back to the iHealth channel, iHealth Radio, the ABC Network, The Works. We have an exciting discussion today, a discussion that if you are catching it today, this is something you definitely want to listen to the whole show here, because there's so much stuff we're going to be talking about, and it affects your health, it affects your well-being, and it's going to touch on healthcare, but particularly the safety and or the pharma in general, the drugs, administration of drugs, and the safety measures that are in place, because a lot of people question why, how. We all know that drugs have interactions, they have side effects, you know, there's a lot of stuff, there's a lot of controversy that goes that Big Pharma is huge, the lobby is great. So we have a lot of discussion with our guest today, because she is a clinical pharmacist and certified patient safety officer. So she knows the inside and the outside and the intricate stuff about this world. So without any further ado, I have with me Lydia Molinara. Lydia, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. Yes, I think it's going to be a very interesting discussion. It's behind the scenes.
Ooh, yeah, that's like, you know, giving the excitement here. Well, but again, it is a an interesting, you know, world that we live in, right? And I guess it's unprecedented. I mean, if you look at our history as humans, healthcare has evolved into a lot of things, and it became more business oriented, I would say, in the most, you know, the last few decades, if not the last century. And the drug, you know, companies, or the drug and the big pharma and the healthcare systems are powerful systems. And a lot of people, you know, kind of have no choice but use the system, right? I mean, we are humans, we get sick, and there's a lot of stuff that get us sick. So there's a whole discussion about the world that we live in between pollution, nutrition, the food industry, and all the stuff that we have. And there's always the question, is it, and I'm not being, you know, a theorist here, you know, are they intended to be this way? Because some people will say, oh, the theory is that, you know, we want to get people sick so we can get, you know, Big Pharma money or the healthcare system money. You know, is that even something, you know, I don't know. But the fact is, there's a lot of question, you know, marks out there, a lot of people, a lot of discussions. And, you know, I've been in the insurance space for 30 years in the healthcare, you know, involved with providers and hospital systems and things like that, even drugs. I mean, because, you know, benefits, you know, designs are, you know, including our drug, you know, formularies and things, but we don't know the clinical part of it and stuff like that. And there's a lot of controversy about that. You know, I follow a lot of things. I'm more about the, you know, the naturopath, if you want to, you know, have it that way, or the healthier or the preventative mode. But all these things are real. But then there's the reality of drugs. I mean, they do have a purpose, and sometimes we need them for pain management, for, you know, surgery after surgery, whatever, and sometimes maintenance. There's a healing process. Sometimes you need to fix problems, sometimes you need just to patch problems. Sometimes people look at it as drugs are more to patch things. And there's also the question that we all see on the ads when there's a drug that is promoted. Big disclaimer, this can be causing lethal, you know, outcomes. It can be fatal. It can have this. And it's scary, like, you know. So it's like, you know, the smoking and, you know, the tobacco industry. Like, they tell you, hey, cigarettes can cause cancer, but people still smoke or whatever. So there's a lot of these things. And now you have both worlds. You're a pharmacist by I guess default, but you're on the safety aspect of it. So let's get deep dive into, first of all, your journey into the pharmacy world and to the pharma world. And maybe there's different levels of that. I mean, as being a pharmacist as opposed to, I guess, a drug, you know, manufacturer and things like that. I mean, how does that all interact with, you know, with each other? Because I think for our audiences, it would be great to bring them, like, what are those levels? Because I met somebody the other day who actually manufactures, you know, drugs, like the over-the-counter stuff. And it was weird. I mean, it was not weird. For me, it was like, wow, eye-opener. Even understanding the different phases of trials, right? You know, so if we can bring people closer to the whole pharma world in a way, you know, without having any extreme interviews, just to share with them what it is really as a system. So at least people understand what it is, and maybe they can make their own opinions about it.
Sure. So basically what the whole industry breaks down to is you have the drug companies that do the research, you know, they take it right from the chemical substance all the way to put it in a human body and seeing what happens when you put that chemical into a human body. And that's kind of the drug company side of things. Then they do their clinical trials. There's obviously, you know, in America, there's the FDA, in Canada, it's Health Canada, and different places in the world have their regulatory bodies that look at this data that a drug company produced, the studies and the results of those, to see whether or not that drug that was intended, let's just say, to improve eyesight actually works to do that without causing harm to the eyes, let's say, so that somebody doesn't go blind when they put these eye drops in. So that's kind of what the drug companies do. They're in charge of, you know, in our society and basically in the world, because they're everywhere, the drug companies do the manufacturing of the medications from start to end. So right from the chemical powders that they're mixing all the way to then producing it, putting it in a bottle and shipping it to the drug stores. And when it gets to the drugstore level, that is a product that then whatever the bottle says, let's just say it says gabapentin 300 milligrams, that's what's inside the bottle. So we as pharmacists know that that process, that supply chain went all the way through. When it gets to the pharmacy and in the world of then having it go to the patient, there is a huge educational piece that healthcare professionals need to learn. So in order for a doctor to know what this medication does and how does it compare to other medications, they learn that. And drug companies do that education. So they don't learn it, you know, the drug companies are the ones that are producing the information about the drug. It's sort of called the prescribing info. It's a product monograph. That's what it's called. And it basically, it's the instructions to the drugs. So what is this medication doing? What are the side effects? Can you use it? What strength do you use it in? So the drug company produces based on the results, the instructions. And oftentimes they'll come and do like a lunch and learn, or they'll do something to try and educate the healthcare professionals. On the pharmacy side of things, we learn about that chemical and we learn about all chemicals going through pharmacy school. And we understand what do the chemicals do in the body. And based on how that works within the biology of your body, we understand what types of side effects are going to likely occur because of that. Every time you put a chemical in your body, you have a reaction. And I don't care if it's water, and we talk about food. So good food will have different reactions in your body versus what we call, you know, processed food. That's going to have a different reaction in your body versus an organic. You know, if you take a fruit off of a tree, that's going to have a different set of reactions. All chemicals. They're all chemicals, though. And drugs are chemicals as well. So when we put those chemicals in the body, that's where the pharmacist, that's where our expertise comes in to say, we understand that this drug, you know, I'm going to just keep using the word gabapentin because it's in my head right now, but gabapentin 300 milligrams is 3 times a day. It can be up to a max of this amount. You shouldn't use it in pregnancy. You shouldn't use it if you have this condition. Can't use it with these drugs. So we know everything there is to know about the actual drug and how it's going to interfere with diseases, with food, with other medical conditions, with, you know, different things, like I said, like if you're pregnant or breastfeeding, or if you've just had surgery, or if you're taking it with a herbal product or supplement, how do those chemicals react? So that's kind of our whole sort of thing as a pharmacist. That's what we do. We as pharmacists also are able, and like myself, I'm a prescribing pharmacist, are able to prescribe what we call minor ailments. So we can actually, we understand the body because we have to know what happens when the drug gets into the body. So we understand the bodily systems. So we are not diagnosers. Like we don't diagnose, we don't touch you and, you know, check to see if your stomach is okay. We don't check your lungs. We don't check your ears. But if you come in and say, you know, I've been going to the bathroom 4 times today and it burns and it's stinging, we have enough to know, okay, that sounds like a urinary tract infection. Here's the labs you need to go do. Here's what you need to do. As a process, we do process of elimination when we diagnose. So let me find out, you know, I'm going pee 4 times a day. Did you increase your fluids? Yeah, I've been drinking 3 liters now. Well, okay, well, that makes sense. That's why, right? So there's a diagnosing part as well to pharmacists when you come in and ask for an over-the-counter medication and you're saying, you know, I have a really bad headache. We kind of walk you through that to see, well, do you just need Advil? Do you need Tylenol? Can you even take that? Or are you having a migraine and you need to go to the hospital, or you need a stronger medication? Same thing like heartburn. I can't tell you how many times pharmacists probably all over the world can tell you somebody comes in for heartburn, but they're clearly having a heart attack. So a pharmacist understands that as well. So when a drug comes to market, the whole realm of what a pharmacist needs to do is understand that drug and how it's going to affect the patient taking it, and if it's the right drug for what the patient needs. So we do both. We don't just take the prescription and say, oh, this is great. You got a prescription for gabapentin. We dispense it and away you go. Our job is actually to make sure that that drug is what we call indicated. In other words, is it meant for you? And so that's what a pharmacist does. And that's the level of sort of, you know, a doctor will be the diagnoser. He writes the prescriptions. He's a prescriber. Pharmacists in some states, in some places in the world, can also prescribe if they have the extra training. And then you have the drug companies who are basically from A to Z, producing it, making it, and marketing it.
Ooh, there's quite a bit there. That's a lot actually in there. And, you know, I mean, it's probably the most concise, you know, definition of like the drug industry from the inception, you know, of a drug to where it's administered. But so let's break that down a little further. Well, first of all, you've used a couple concepts. One is the idea of chemicals. I mean, you repeated that word a few times. Now, for any one of us that's hearing that, you know, and not close enough to the healthcare, chemicals sound dangerous. And, you know, if we, again, go back to history, the traditional way was all natural remedies, right? Herbs and plants and, you know, things that are in nature. But now we are living in a world of chemistry and all lab manufactured stuff. Maybe you can get us closer. What was the transition, you know, from that? I mean, although they exist still, there's naturopathic, you know, medicine, there's a lot of that that's still out there. But I think it got taken over rapidly over the last, you know, half a century, if not more, you know, into terms of like, it's all chemical. And I know that everything is a molecule and atomic at the base. I mean, as you said, H2O, mm-hmm. right? I mean, we have that. I mean, you guys, I mean, when you look at any drug, you open it up, there is a molecule in there that determines like, mm-hmm. you know, what are the particles and the parts of that particular drug. But it's all synthetic. And again, when I mentioned I met someone and had this question that is like, what, how it is? Well, basically they just put powders together and they look at them and see like what works and how they interface, you know, interact with the body system, right? And we talk about receptors and stuff, you know, of course, you know, you can give us closer, you know, how maybe that works. So at least people understand how these drugs do kind of work in the body. But really the transition from remedies and natural herbs, which still work, you know, to a degree, to what we have as an alternative, you know, was that necessary? I mean, are they more effective, you know, in your, I guess, world? How does that even, I guess, get justified, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, the thing is that we have to understand, like, even some prescription drugs are based on plant derivatives. So, you know, one of the things in the industry, and I think that the Food and Drug Administration in the U.S. and is looking at doing some of this. So the drug companies are regulated through the FDA. So you cannot put a drug on the shelf and have what's called a drug identification number unless it's approved from the bodies, the governmental bodies that check all of this data. So that's what happens. And there's hoops to go through that for the drug companies. Some naturopath medicines, supplements, if they don't have what we call an NP number, which is a natural product number, there hasn't been any testing on that product done at all. So there's a shift in mentality of thinking that natural products are better for you. At the end of the day, it is a natural product. It comes from a plant, right? Like, supposedly it does. Remember, if there's no NP number, you can never know 100% that what's on the outside of the label is actually on the inside of the bottle. So they're not tested unless there's an NP number or what we know is a USP number. And that USP number means that even though I decided that I was going to make an oregano capsule and I, you know, grew oregano in my farm and I started making capsules. If, let's say, I don't have the ability to do all of this testing, I can send it to a lab and they'll put a USP number on it, meaning that they tested to make sure that if I said there's oregano in that capsule, that in fact there's oregano in that capsule without additives, without bee pollen particles, without insect particles, you know, without other things that have got mixed into that when it was manufactured. So there is also this misconception that natural equals better. Natural is just another way of making medication. Okay, there's two separate things. There's the chemical route, and then there is right derived from a plant. So what happens with some of these chemicals is we can't produce, that many plants in the sense. So then you look at it and you say it's like vitamin C. Well, we can make vitamin C out of orange juice and have some vitamin C that way, but how much do we make? It's much easier to take it in pill form or a chewable tablet. So then it's made through chemicals that basically copy what vitamin C is. So there is this misconception that natural equals better. You've really got to make sure that when you're buying these products, that they have also been tested, because there is an issue with that. Some people aren't getting what they think they're getting when they buy the bottle, and oftentimes it's expensive, and it can interact with other medications as well. So when you're seeking something that's a natural product, I don't differentiate whether it's a natural product or a chemical product. The way I think of medications is, do you actually need it? Because whether it's a natural product or a chemical product, both of them have side effects. They're chemicals that go in the body. Now, whether it's a natural chemical or it's a chemical that's synthetic, either way, there's a reaction that's going on in your body when you take something. And it happens with food, right? I mean, something as basic as food. You can eat an orange, and that's right off the tree that you pick, and you eat that orange. There's something going on in your body after you eat that orange. And that's no different than if you take a drug. And that's what I want people really to understand, is that you have to understand why you are taking that and what is it doing to benefit you. Because if you don't have the risk versus benefit equation to everything that you're taking, then you shouldn't be taking it unless you understand that equation. What is the risk of this medication or herbal product or supplement versus what is the benefit? And that's the critical way to understand whether you should take something or not. And that's, as a patient safety officer, what I try and educate people on, is you don't just take something because, it's the latest fad. Oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to drink cherry juice. I'm going to, do this, or I'm going to try this new thing that I've seen. Like, why? Is there a reason for you to do that? What is the risk of doing that versus the benefit? And so when we look at medications and the process of changing the way things have been done, I think it was really, in the history of things, it's kind of was to keep up with the masses. So when you look at penicillin was, basically discovered by Dr. Fleming, and he figured out a way to basically save our lives, because our life expectancy just increased exponentially because of the ability to, cure something that could kill a lot of people. So it became, the cure for diseases, where penicillin helped to make sure that the infection didn't spread and kill people. So there was a lot of things, the invention of insulin. How many diabetic people today wouldn't have survived before? There was no natural products to help with this. It was, discovered that way, and it became, in the sense, a drug company's medication. So I think it was just an evolution of discoveries of the different chemicals, and the evolution also of the technologies that were available to produce these medications. It wasn't about going to find a plant to see what that plant did any longer. It moved into a lab out of the technology that progressed as well.
Yeah, there's so much I want to just keep extracting here. Well, there's a couple of things, and I love what you talked about, is the idea that, yeah, natural or not, I mean, it still, there's a reaction in the body, right? So that's you're gonna take something in the body can. And by the way, people, for example, they have a reaction to mushrooms and a few other things that you can have cherries, or like peanuts, allergies and stuff like that. So there's a lot of things. Although some of these things are commonly newer, stuff, even like we have gluten and all these dairy, allergies and stuff like that, things, intolerances that may not have been in the past, or at least have not been documented in our ancestors, but we have them. Maybe it's a product of today's society. I don't know. But these are things, as you said, that we take, and some people react differently to different things. But there's an environment to that. And I'll get to that in a moment. But I love what you said, is that it doesn't matter what it is. It's not so much what are you taking, it's why. And so I want to just question that why here for a second, because you are you know, the way you stated it, I mean, it's like everybody needs to know. The problem is, I think that 90% of people, when they get a prescription, they don't know really how it works and how it's going to affect their body. Because I don't think doctors go deep dive in that one. I mean, some doctors may. They'll just take your head. This is good for you. It's going to work for you. And that's it. But what does it do? Like, you know, for example, we take statins, right? You know, how does statin work? I mean, it's a beta blocker, whatever that is, right? You know, we can, you know, I mean, you can break it down to us through the science. But the fact of the matter is, why? You know, and some people say, well, you don't even have to take statins because you can do this. Or people, you don't have to take blood pressure because, you know, we've been told salt is bad for you, but yet salt is good. And there's that debate as well these days. I mean, so there's a lot of controversial opinions, I would say, you know, like, you know, pushing, mm-hmm. you know, like literally like side by side, you know, like almost like a magnetic, you know, push, yeah. You know, where right. you have two different schools of thoughts and one is pushing against the other. And everybody's trying to claim that they're the righteous, you know, party. Now, at the end of the day, as you said, as a consumers, we need to be aware of why and then make the decision. The problem is do we have the informed, you know, opportunity, right? And that's one. Two is, as you said, so there's that component of agencies who actually are the ones who approve these drinks, right? These drugs. But so again, there's a question about that. I mean, and I don't mean, again, I'm just questioning things because this is a topic that everybody is like hopping on. One of the things you mentioned, FDA. Now, a lot of people think FDA is a federal, you know, entity, yet it is a private entity. You know, there's that question mark there. The people that run it or the commissioners may have been pharma folks in their previous history. So there's the concept of potential conflict. So these are the things that people, where there's the trust factor, right? And the, you know, we're not sure. And there's a lot, again, controversial stuff that goes on. And there's like almost two different currents. And so where do you stand? So as audiences are watching and listening to this show, we just want to bring them to a common ground, at least to understand where they stand and what basically they have to do something about it themselves, as opposed to taking a side. Like we have to, me as a consumer, for example, and you mentioned something dear to me or close to me, for example, is diabetes, right? My mother has been diabetic for 30 years and she has been literally living on insulin for that much time. And I have to say, if it wasn't for insulin, she probably wouldn't have been in the shape that she is today. I mean, she's much better, you know, in her later age, you know. I mean, she could be better, of course, you know, enough. There's age, there's other factors. But yes, so the discovery, for example, of the introduction of insulin, you know, and stuff. But then people can say, well, we don't even have to get insulin if our food, for example, didn't have enough sugar in it and things like that. So there's like, you know, cause and effect in a lot of ways. You know, is it on purpose done? Is it like, you know, a conspiracy? And I'm not even, you know, again, going there. But this topic actually introduces a lot of conspiracy behind it. I mean, if you hear anything about pharma within the movies or stuff, there's always that plug, right, about this is a world of like, you know, these guys are dangerous and whatever. But the fact of the matter is, it shouldn't be. You know, we just need to know what are the facts, you know, from the side. I mean, obviously, it's an industry, and this industry is, there's profits and stuff. But how does a consumer protect themselves? Now, of course, every country is also different. And mm-hmm. I think you mentioned something that is interesting, because anybody watching in the States, they'd be like, pharmacists can prescribe drugs? Can they even give opinion? No, because here we know you can't. I mean, the pharmacists don't even talk to you about anything. They'll tell you side effects maybe and how to, you know, three times a day, whatever, maybe the dosage, but that's about it. They're never going to say. Now, you go to a different country, you know, in Europe. I'm originally from Morocco. So in Morocco, you can go to the pharmacies and they'll tell you what to do. Like, hey, I have this thing. Okay, here's a great medicine for you, take in stuff. And they actually give it because they're technically doctors in pharmacy and they will actually, but they're in authorized to do so. Again, Canada may be different. I don't know. Every country is different. In some parts of the world, it's easy. Even drugs, you can, like, for example, I can buy any antibiotic, you know, for the most part in some parts of the world without even a prescription. In the States, you can't have an antipenicillin. Forget about it. You're not going to get it. Right. You know, I mean, even, you know, a Z-Pack, you cannot get, you know, over the counter here. Right. But I can pick up, you know, 10 packs of Z-Pack anywhere in parts of the world. Mexico is down the block. I think even Canada, you probably do. I'm not sure. Maybe you can.
Pharmacists can, in some provinces, like we have provinces and not states in Canada. And some places you can. Yeah, I'm a prescribing pharmacist. I can prescribe anything in where I live, in the sense, in the state, that province that I'm in. But, you know, the thing is that here's the thing that I'm trying to get people to understand. There is no industry that doesn't have some leveraging. And that's really important to understand. Healthcare is very hard to navigate. There's a law, it's a whole different language. There's a lot that goes on, and it happens at a time when you're the most vulnerable. And that's really, you know, the fear, the anxiety, the stress, what's the matter with me? What's the matter with my loved one? What's the matter with my child? What's the matter with my husband? It can be an emergency situation. It can just be, you know, I'm not feeling well, something's not right. And you go to the doctor, right? Or you go to try and figure out what's going on. A lot of the industry and the way that it is complicated because the body is complicated and one size does not fit all. The issue is that the treatment is one size is supposed to fit all, right? So it's really important in this day and age, we are fortunate. So people will say, I don't like this Dr. Google. You shouldn't be doing that. You should just check with the doctor. I disagree. What I think Dr. Google is good for in knowing and understanding what exactly does this drug do? What exactly is this diagnosis of lupus mean? What, you know, what does that even mean? What, because you don't have the time. And that's the behind the scenes in healthcare. It is a system that's in crisis. I don't really think that anyone in healthcare can tell me across the world, and I'm going to use the word after COVID, that healthcare systems haven't become in crisis. They were in crisis before. After COVID, it became worse. And there's a million factors why that is. But to make the long story short, healthcare is in crisis. So when you go to a healthcare system and you engage, the number one thing that you have to remember is that you need to be able to take the information that you get. And you have to then do your own research and understanding your body and what's happening and figure out what the treatment plan has been given to you. So you go to the doctor and they say something simple, which is detrimental, but simple. You have a migraine. So, okay, I have a migraine. I've now been diagnosed with the fact that I have migraines. So what can I do? And you flip it to the first part to prevent these migraines. I don't know. I don't even know why I get them. Okay, well, let's start. You need to do the work. Okay, well, when I get a migraine, what was around that? Was it because I had alcohol? Was it because I had excess sugar? Was it because of bright lights? Was it because I didn't sleep enough? There's a reason why it triggered. And is it hormonal? Is it, you know, why? What? So if you don't do your own sort of inner work to understand why, you're not going to have as best an outcome. And I think that's where a lot of people just feel like the system is going to help me. Unfortunately, the system is part of the problem. And I say that because as a patient safety officer and as a pharmacist, I have seen the errors that happen because people come to the counter and tell me about them. It's not because I go out and seek them either. You know, people come back and say, oh, yeah, I was taking this medication. I'm on 6 inhalers. And I'm like, what? Like, that's not even normal. But yeah, I'm trying to, you know, I can't even make it up a flight of stairs. And it's just like, why? So goes, and I say, you got to go back and get a chest x-ray. When was the last time you had a pulmonary lung function test? Oh, years. Well, you got to ask for those things. So I didn't know I should ask for those things. Yes, you got to go ask for those things. She turns out she's got stage 3 lung cancer. It's got nothing to do with our inhalers. So these are the things that you have to take ownership of your body. And that goes from your prevention piece. What are you eating? How are you exercising? How are you sleeping? How do you fix those pieces? If it's emotional, if it's stress, because those things impact the body. Then you get to the point where, okay, now my body has been broken down and I need help, whether that be, like I said, a migraine or, you know, I don't know, you sprained your ankle from an accident. You need some sort of healthcare at that point. When you go seek the healthcare, you still have to be your own advocate. You still have to ask the questions. You still have to understand what you're being told. And a lot of times we don't. And I'm going to explain, like, as a pharmacist, I understand certain things, but I'm not a specialist. So if a specialist says to me, you've got this, this, and this, I got to look up those words myself. Right? Like, it's a different language for each specialty. So you, as a consumer, you're going to say, I didn't go to med school. I don't know what a pharmacist knows. And I'm not saying that you should, but the resources that are available to understand some of it, now we have. What did we have before? We were going to go look it up in an encyclopedia at the library. to know what, you know, diabetes meant. We can click on an internet on our phone and we can read about diabetes and we can understand what does that mean? What does a migraine mean? What should I track? How do I keep track of these things? You've got to take ownership of your health when it's before and then especially after when you're getting treated, because the doctor is going to have 15 minutes. Now, I don't know why it's become 15 minutes for a doctor, but you're talking about healthcare being a business. Yes, it is a business. It absolutely is. Just like buying a car is a business and buying groceries is a business. Everything in life is a transaction. So when you look at healthcare, you can't look at healthcare as not being a transaction. It is, except for the fact that what we don't do enough of is we stay quiet because we feel like all these healthcare professionals know a lot more than me. We put trust in that. And I'm not suggesting that you shouldn't, but what I'm saying is you need to be a partner in your healthcare, not someone who just takes the advice and walks away and does nothing else with it and takes it religiously. You can't do that. It's not in your best interest to do that anymore. It could have been, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, where there wasn't as many drugs, there wasn't as many complications, there wasn't as many diseases. Things have progressed as well. So it's an overwhelming amount of knowledge. You have a physician and a specialist that goes to 12, 15 years of school, and sometimes they still can't diagnose something. Why is that? Because it's complicated. So you, as a consumer, if you go to the doctor and you have things tracked, and you say, my migraine, I had 3 this week, and I can see that it happens when I eat this or when I do this. This is what I can start to see. That diagnosing and that ability to put a treatment plan in place becomes a lot better for you, and you have better outcomes because there's more information. So it is a detective work. You know, like you've got to put the pieces together. So the more truthful information you provide and the more you track to see that picture, the faster you're going to get to the diagnosis and then to the treatment plan. And when you're on the treatment plan and we give you a medication for migraine, that medication has side effects. We talked about this. There is chemical. So if they have a side effect, are you tracking that? You know what most people don't think about is the drug. They don't think that the drug is causing some of the problems that they're having once they start it. They just think that the migraine is now causing this, or, oh, lately I've been very constipated. I don't know why. I don't know. It's the drug. You know, like I had a dad come into the pharmacy and he says, my son has a rash all over his body. And I said, oh, do you know what that's from? Like, you know, something he ate, or, you know, like we're trying to get like what? And then I said, and he's like, no, nothing's changed. And I'm like, has he had an antibiotic lately? Oh yeah, he's on a penicillin antibiotic right now. Okay, well, that explains that. So yeah, you have to take your child back to the doctor now because you need to get another antibiotic because allergy, an allergic reaction. But we don't think about the drugs. And as healthcare professionals, physicians, other nurses, sometimes we don't think it's the drug. We're trying to figure out what the body's doing, but sometimes it's the drug that they're taking that they don't talk about, that it's a supplement that they've been on, or they're taking activated charcoal because their neighbor told them and their medications aren't working. I wonder why. So that drug is going to flush everything out. So none of your drugs are going to work. So you have to be truthful in what you're doing as well to get that diagnosis. So I always say you have to, number one, advocate, which is the A piece. You have to know what questions to ask, but you have to ask them. You can't be scared to ask them. You got to remove whatever apprehension you have, because a lot of times when you go into the doctor's office, we feel like they're God and we're just listening and we're the humble ones who have to just take their knowledge and don't ask questions. That's not true. Physicians, pharmacists, nurses, we are different in the sense that there are healthcare professionals that want to partner with you. Your healthcare is the priority, but we can't do it alone. I do not know your body. You have to answer my questions in order for me to get that detective work done. So you have to be willing to have those discussions, and you have to have them from a place of power. And that place of power is knowledge. And how do you get that knowledge? Because you do your research and you track things and you speak up. And I don't mean yell and scream and swear. I mean, you speak up. I don't understand. Why is this? Why do you think that's going to work for me? Ask the why questions. Just keep asking why. Why should I take that? What does it do? The five W's. Just ask those. It's going to give you more knowledge, and then you can make the decision that you feel is best for you. You can try it. Okay, I'm going to try this medication. Then if you say this isn't working, you go back. Nobody is watching you at home to make sure it's working. There's no one checking at home. So if something's not working right, you go back and you say, this didn't work. Something else has to happen. You know, like understand how that drug's going to work. What do you need to do for that medication? And follow those rules. I know we don't like following rules, but unfortunately, medications are tricky. They're chemicals. If you don't follow the rules, you'll find yourself in trouble. And that's why, you know, one in four hospital admissions is because of medications.
I think we're gonna need more than an hour. this is stuff is awesome. Listening to you, first of all, I love your passion about the advocacy part of it, and you really understand this, and I do sincerely feel that you do this, because you really want people to be better and understand the system, even though you are a pharmacist, you deal with the drugs, but you want people to understand why they're taking the drug and how they do it. Love the example that you gave about migraines, and I give a good, I'll support that. We have a podcast, on the network, the headache podcast, the Headache Doctor podcast with Jonathan Tevis, and he, I mean, Novera, it's a clinic. They do physical therapy, but they work the headache and migraine. Believe it or not, it's a different concept of physical therapy. And when I first interviewed had the interview with him and just got to know the work, and I was fascinated because talking about migraines, I mean, hundreds of episodes, and every episode is different about why migraines happen and headaches and different reasons why they happen for different people and so on and so forth. So just as simple as examples, as you said, there's no, it's not a cookie cutter. It's you have migraines is one thing. It's many things. It could be from a side effect of something else that you've had, whatever. So you're right. People don't do that. And I love what you talked about, the concept of being a partner to your doctor. Because and really ask the question, the five whys, the why, what, when, where, who, why, and so all. But the idea is, you're right, because and you said it best. You ask the doctor, they're that's like gospel, right? You get it and you're done. You follow the instruction, follow the doctor's prescribed, as we hear that expression sometimes. But really, is can you do that? Now, historically, as you said, we didn't have access to information out of the palm of our hands. Today, we do have. I mean, podcasts galore out there, the Dr. Google, WebMD, the Mayo Clinic. I mean, there's so many, resources. W, I mean, again, some sources, even the CDC. I mean, there's many organizations, and you just have to know, and you have to double check on the data, because one agency may have a different set of information. And then you make up, and if not, you ask an expert, right? So there's a lot of this stuff. I love what you said, like simple as a rash, and his analogies. I mean, the doctor should have asked for that question. Maybe the person never told them, oh, I don't, or they said I didn't have it. Maybe they didn't have one before because they never used it. So there's a lot of things. You're right. People don't know how things, the doctors don't know you. And this actually, I've experienced personally. My mom was in the hospital, and they, the nurses, they get shifts, and the doctors come in, they visit for 2 minutes, okay, we'll send her to lab, we'll do this and that, and that's about it. They look at the results. Okay, she might have this. I've actually experienced, I've seen someone who actually misdiagnosed in front of me, and it was not what she had. They didn't know her. They just kind of looked at this. Oh, this is it. No, that's not it. You have to know her. I, even her diabetes, I knew like when she goes up and down, and, they almost failed, she was almost gone because her sugar dropped to 30s because they had their own system when they administered the shot. They overdosed her on the insulin. And the actin, the fasten, and everything was doubled up. So her sugar shot down, in the middle of the night. I was with her. Had I not been there, she would have been gone, because she was basically, they wouldn't even have checked on her until 2 hours later. She would have gone. So stuff like that, it's real. And the doctors can only do their best based on what you tell them. So we have to tell them as much as we can. And also, that brings us to another question, is that, and I've had several shows about testing. Most of today's providers, they request the basic elements of testing, right? You A1Cs, it's just the basic stuff. They're like 360 or you know, thousands of actually tests that you can be doing, you know, from the genome level, you know, to everything else. And you can even see things as you're talking about preventative stuff, you know, and your behavior. That's the other thing, lifestyles, decisions that we do, things that we eat, interactions, I mean, drugs, alcohol and stuff that you might have that could have devastating stuff. We don't know these things. As you said, you know, check in, you know, on like well check visits, you know, like, you know, annual wellness, you know, visits. These are things that you do maybe 6 months, you know, for everybody. The more you check, the earlier you can see things and the better you have a look. And so it's communication, as you said, speak up. As you said, some people are afraid. The other thing, as you said, it is the world of healthcare has become very, you know, business-like. And yes, I mean, doctors do go to school for many, many years, but they spend a lot of money, and there's malpractice lawsuits and stuff like that, and insurance, and so, you know, they gotta pay for all those bills. And sometimes, and I don't defend that, as I said, but I understand it. You know, how possibly can they spend an hour with a patient? Some doctors do spend, you know, good enough time, but you know, it costs them, you know, a lot, you know, and they have to have better, you know, maybe other things that supplement, you know, I guess their revenue and income, but. The average person now, you go to a clinic, is like 10, 15 minutes tops if you're lucky to get a doctor to spend that much with you. Is it enough? It's never going to be enough. Now, if the doctor knows you for over a few years, they know your trends, they know stuff, maybe they can actually be closer to your health, but not everybody is. Especially if you go to like public clinics, whatever, you might not even see the same doctor over.
Right.
You know, so that's a very difficult place. You're right. And the system is so convoluted, so difficult, so intricate, so... I don't know. It's just complicated, you know, from start to finish, different components, different parts. And it makes it very difficult for people to really get what they need. And again, even for us, insurance, right? I mean, you know, at least in my world, you know, there's authorization, this process. We have, you know, clinical, you know, teams that are actually, you know, to like, well, the diagnosis is wrong. This code is wrong. This one is not. We're approving this. Sometimes people also get shoveled because they don't get the right approvals in the right time. For example, I'll give you an example. We have some authorizations that could take up to 2 weeks. Someone may not have 2 weeks to wait for an authorization to get and by the way, that's a critical thing that I don't like. And I, you know, on my area of business side of the insurance, we fight for those things because we're the ones who actually get the members complaining to us like, hey, I need this approved.
That's
what's taking long? And we have to like fight internally to get some approvals. But it is intricate. It is, you know, very difficult to navigate. And by the way, one of the reasons I started this whole thing was because of that, because I realized that people don't know much and we needed some more, you know, and I make the joke all the time about the Weather Channel we have, but we don't have a healthcare channel. So I started But really, and obviously I try to get the experts. Now, I'm not an expert, but I bring the right people, hopefully, you know, to share the values to people that they can take. Now, of course, it's up to people. As you said, people have to do their due diligence. And, you know, some people can criticize, well, you know, you got to go to Google. Well, you don't go to Dr. Google so you can get an actual medicine and treatment. You just, as you said, to get the information. So you're informed about the different things. Now, you might not even understand what it is, but if I go like, well, I read about this. Could you tell me more? And at least then you have something to bring in. But if you come in zero information, it's whatever you get is what you're going to get. So that's it, you know, and you take it for what it for face value and you move on. That may not work. And the doctor, sometimes doctors misdiagnose things because you've given them the wrong information or you've given them a descriptive that is completely off, and that's it. You didn't tell them that you got something. And a lot of people actually have, you know, talked about the pandemic and, you know, the protocols that were given stuff. People have misdiagnoses and outcomes that were wrong because, again, you don't tell, like, you go to, when you get a shot, for example, they tell you, did you have this, that, the other? If you don't tell them, like, oh, you stop, I never had this, well, then you just messed up, you know, because you didn't tell them that you have a problem that's going to be actually reactive to whatever you're getting. And I'm talking about any shot, flu shot, whatever. You know, it could be that simple things. You are taking a drug, and now you said, you know, about was it charcoal, I think you mentioned, you know, that your neighbor said.
Yeah.
That can, as you said, detoxify whatever, and your body is not even absorbing your medication. Voila, you're done. You know, so these are the things. We don't know. Like, that's the other thing. Stop taking stuff to experiment in your body. I mean, we don't want people to experiment on us. We should not be experimenting ourselves. But again, and not like, for example, what I do is I share a lot of information, but I vet out most of it, if not all of it. And, you know, and the other thing is when I do it, I want people to do their own due diligence. I'm never going to say, this is my endorsement. I want you to do this. This is information for you. I share the value, we share the value today, you know, for people to actually, oh, okay, that brings me a little bit of a ease of mind. Now I know what I need to do. I got to be more an advocate. And I love what you said. You're an advocate and it sounds legit. You sound, you know, honest about it because you have that. And you could tell when someone is really passionate about this. You know, you really want people just to do the right thing by themselves and help, you know, help, you know, your provider help you, you know, and the system to help you. Now, of course, you're not going to be able to navigate some protocols. As you said, drugs are complicated. You know, the doctors themselves, they might go to school. For example, it's a very well-known fact, you know, the nutrition part of their education is limited. Now, are they nutritionists or dietitians? No. But can they know? Some doctors do know more than others, right? Because they do more research and some have not gone there. They have to prescribe your dietitian, talk to your dietitians for more information if you want, right? Stuff like that. So, but you have to know these things. And again, I think we are aware more today because we have access.
That's
to information.
Right.
You know, again, maybe 20 years ago before the internet, you know, as you said, you would have to literally go to a library and pick up books to do it. And who had the time to do that, right? Now, you know, it's like you can be on a train and a bus, you know, whatever. You can just listen to, you know, a show and get all the information. And of course, there's a lot of controversy, a lot of, you know, shows that talk one way or the other, pro, you know, and versus, you know, against, and all these things are happening. But at least the more you know, the more you can make up, you know, these informed decisions, at least know what to do to navigate things. And really, that's all there is. It's about information. It's about getting the best potential outcome if, you know, for you or your loved ones, right? And so thank you for that. Now, one thing you mentioned earlier, a couple of things I want to go back to. One is the pharmacy, you know, and the drugs, when they basically R&D, they test them, and now they are in education mode, and those drug pharmacies are the ones who educate the doctors. Now, there's a question that always comes up. Well, maybe there is a bias there because they want to sell those, and there are some drugs. I mean, and I know there was, and if you did a couple of decades, I think they've regulated further now, but doctors used to be wine and dine to actually, you know, with the pharma companies. And, you know, it was known if you have pharma rep, you take in doctors at these fancy places. Now, listen, we take doctors too, you know, and we're regulated as well. And, you know, we're in the insurance space. So it's, you know, you work with providers, networks, because, you know, you want better outcomes in health. So we try to keep them, you know, incentivized, you know, so they can do more for their patients and spend more time and so on and so forth. So you put these metrics that make us, you know, rate better with the government, so on and so forth. So those are things. But, you know, in the event of the pharma, I think they're regulated enough, at least in the States, to be less, you know, extravagant, you know, with the doctors. So there's less of that more, you know, like, I guess, a motive or incentive, right? Say, you know, where these people have a reason to actually push out more of X drug versus Y drug. But at the end of the day, they're the ones who educate them. I mean, in order for you to even be pharma rep, usually you have to have some sort of bio degree and you go to intensive training for a few months and then you become a rep and then that's what you do. I used to see them all the time at doctor's offices. You walk in, we're meeting with a doctor for insurance. They come in to talk about some drugs and samples. And most of the doctors will give you a sample anyways for any new drug that's out there. So there is that, and some, you know, there's also controversial stuff about those things. For example, in the chemo world, for example, in the oncology, it is a fact, and, you know, it's not hidden. You know, there is an actual commission, you know, per prescription, when, at least in the States, I think that's the truth. Again, maybe I'm wrong, you know, but that's not my information. It's public information that I read, that, you know, there's a you know, a percentage if you prescribe, you know, the chemotherapy, there's a payment to you. Now, whatever that means, you know, some people are anti, you know, and then that's an example, for example, of a very devastating, you know, protocol that can actually hurt you badly, because it's not just eating up the cancer cells, it's eating up everything else. And many people don't make it because of that treatment. And it maybe not a fact, maybe I can get corrected here, but if you're out there and you want to correct it, please come on the show and tell us your version of the information there. And we'd love to have you. But the fact is, that's all there is. We want information to share. Is it true? Is it false? Is it, you know, just give us the information, give us the 411 so we can give it to people and let people make the decision. And so thank you for breaking it down in a way that is as simple as that. It is, you know, you're giving back the baton to the patients and to the advocates themselves to do the right thing by them. Because at the end of the day, we have to do to be number one for ourselves, right? And our loved ones. And yeah, you can do the best you can from your side to guide, but you're right. You don't know the person. Now, you as a pharmacist, you might know your clients, your patients long enough that you know everything they've been through. You know that they've been taking three medications and the fourth medication is not going to work well. So you can say, no, this is not going to fly. You know, and you can tell them, you can be in the sun. I mean, simple stuff. People put a cream on but they can be on the sun, for example, with that cream. And if they do, it's going to have side effects. There's a lot of ways, you know, to look at this. And, you know, I love what you said also about the how things are not necessarily for supplements and or natural drugs. They're not necessarily checked out, you know, and tested out with no USP or, you know, an actual NP number.
Yeah.
So if you don't have those things, you're actually pretty much, you know, at the mercy of the marketing, you know, department of whatever they label there. I can get an influencer to push, you know, anything right now and it will be sold in a minute. Now, what did you get? Maybe you get, and I have actually shows that discuss how these supplements are. Not all are made equal. Some can be just made out of the lowest potential, you know, ingredients in terms of grades. So the potency is so low, it's not even funny. But yes, it is. It has some level of, I'm not just going to get vitamin C, but it's not really the, or like the best example is vitamin D. What level? Magnesium. What, there's different levels that you need that are really more important for your body. I mean, there's different types of magnesium and so on and so forth. Not all of them are going to do what you need to get in your body to function properly. And these are examples, right? So, I mean, we have also Wellness Talk that's just dedicated to drugs and not drugs, but supplements and natural stuff. And maybe people can check that, you know, with George Batista. It's pretty good stuff. You know, and there's a lot of, again, there's shows out there available, information with experts that talk about this, break it down. Just folks, you know, before I started this, I've been in the industry, but really I wasn't part of this. But as my mom got sicker and my dad got sick and, you know, I got closer to the world, you know, where it's really like impact. When you're healthy, you don't even look at this stuff.
Most
people don't worry. And when you're young, you don't even care. But today, the incidence of illnesses is skyrocketing with obesity, diabetes, at earlier. I mean, we have, you know, fatty liver disease with kids. You know, mm-hmm. these are facts of today that we didn't have 10 years, 15 years ago. We have vaping now that is, you know, right, becoming the next, you know, best thing since sliced bread. And even sliced bread is not a good thing, but we mm-hmm. can talk about the manufacturing process food, as you mentioned earlier. So there's a lot of nutrition, you know, I mean, we just had Halloween, right? So the amount of coloring, artificial colors, the reds, the yellows, the greens, and all the blues, and all the stuff that is all the food that is GMO. What, it's not even food. I mean, I call it edible ingredients, but they're not really food nutritionists, right? So again, but they're great. They taste good. They're attractive. I mean, you can't resist the taste of it and like the urges to get more. But is it good for you? It's all, again, talking about chemicals. It's all playing, and that leads me now to let's break down the chemical function. How does it all work when it gets to the body as a chemical? It gets in and it finds its way around our system, our nervous system, our brain, you know, maybe it gets, you know, mm-hmm. our excitement. I mean, sugar is a good drug. You know, they don't call it that, but it is a drug. It gives you a high and you're like happy after that, right? You know, because there's an intent to it. There's the labs, I mean, the test, you know, people that do the work, they see like, where does it really affect, you know, how does it work? So can you bring us down, well, at least our audiences, to what that process is? And, you know, I'm aware of it a little bit, but coming from you would be the best.
Well, our body has many different systems, like you mentioned, the nervous system, you know, we have, I'm going to just call it the blood system, right? Our circulation, how that works. We have the lymphatic system. We have our organs, which, you know, the heart, the liver, the lungs, the appendix, the pancreas, the gallbladder. We have our kidneys, you know, we have our functioning organs as well. And what really is important to understand is, it doesn't matter where the chemical is coming from. Our body starts with a set of systems and chemicals to begin with. When we're born, we have chemicals in our body. So, you know, and I call it chemicals because it is like, we have dopamine, we have norepinephrine, we have serotonin. We've got all of these things that are going in our body because we all know the fight or flight system exists in our body. And those are all different, you know, nervous system reactions that we can have. So when we are in a body, there is a certain set of what I say homeostasis or, you know, parallel things that have to happen in order for the body to function. You have to breathe. You have to, your heart has to pump. You know, these are things we need to do to live. So when you add something in, you add just a glass of water. when you add a glass of water into your already water body system and chemicals, what does that do? So if you put way too much water, you can die. And that has happened. If you, you know, take the chemicals that are in your body and you wash them all out, then things aren't going to work as well. If you don't have enough water, you become dehydrated. You can die. So there's always trying to find the balance for your body. And your body is different than my body. You're male, I'm female. I have sets of hormones in different levels than you do, right? You have more testosterone, I have less. This is a fact. We know this. We've studied this. We understand this now. So there's still lots of research to do in the body. But what we do understand is that anytime you introduce a chemical, it's going to affect the body. How does it do that? I think is really your question. Well, it depends on what the chemical is and what system it's going to affect. So if we have a situation where we have high blood pressure, high blood pressure itself as the disease will affect your kidneys and it will affect your heart and it can cause a stroke. Why? Because you're taking a hose and you're compressing it. And so if you think of a water hose and you step on it, it's not circulating, right? So now the heart has to try and figure out, how am I going to move all of this blood from the top of your, you know, head to the bottom of your toes if somebody stepped on the hose? It's not going to work as well. So now we give you a high blood pressure medication to open the hose, things work better. So the drug is targeted to what the system isn't doing in your own body. So if you have depression, oftentimes your dopamine, serotonin, your norepinephrine, somehow your body is not producing enough of those hormones. So we give you a drug that then will allow that to increase. And so that drug is going to work on those chemicals. So that means the chemical that we're giving you, which is the antidepressant, is going to help your own body's chemicals increase. So when we talk about diabetes, your pancreas is not producing enough insulin. So we give you insulin as the chemical. So it's specific to the drug, is specific to the actual function in your body that isn't working well. So if you have an infection, your fighter cells, you know, like your white blood cells, your T4s, you have a whole bunch of things in your body to help prevent infection. If that's not able, because there's too much bacteria and it's overwhelming the body, if it's not able to handle that on its own, you get a cut. Most times you don't get an infection that creates a huge problem, but sometimes you do because of different situations. Your body doesn't have enough to fight it. Then you need an antibiotic to kill that bacteria. So why are you taking that medical drug that's an antibiotic? Well, it's to help with the infection. So each drug, each chemical is going to have a reaction to the already inside your body processes that have been set up since, you know, we became human in the sense. And that's the shift of what the drugs do. The problem with the drugs, number one, is we have this safe medication mindset where we don't think of a drug as something that is, in the sense, a chemical that's already interacting with the chemicals in your own body. And when I say chemicals, I mean chemicals. Dopamine is a chemical. So there's things that our body already has. And when you add things into it, it's going to help certain systems, but it might affect others. Simple thing as an antibiotic. You take an antibiotic, you can have diarrhea. Why? Like, why am I getting diarrhea? I'm trying to fix my, you know, my chest infection, and now I have diarrhea. That's great. Well, that's because you have bacteria in your gut. And when you take the antibiotic, it's killing the bacteria that's already in your body. So now you have a side effect, which is diarrhea, because you don't have enough of the right flora or the right bacteria in your body to make sure that you don't have now diarrhea, or that you don't have thrush, or you don't have these other things, right? So every chemical has a reaction, and every drug has a reaction. So when we have this safe medication mindset, listen, doctors prescribe, but I'm also going to explain, as a mindset of culture, we also have been taught or thought that only drugs fix things. This one quick fix, you're right. I want my quick fix. In some situations, you need a quick fix. You do need an antibiotic. You know, you're not going to necessarily be able to go out and find something that's going to kill that bacteria, especially if it's aggressive or you have pneumonia. You need the heavy hitting drugs. But the issue becomes, you need to understand that every drug has a reaction, and you can't just look for a quick fix in a drug. I have a problem, I want a medication. I go to the doctor, I don't get a medication, and that doctor doesn't know anything. I got to go to another doctor because he didn't give me the medication. I should have got a medication. Medications are not the solution to everything. And we have to shift the way we think about health. Health is not one size fits all, and drugs are not always the solution. It's the number one therapy to treat things in the world. The number one therapy to treat everything is drugs, has been for a long time. You talk about way back in ancient medicine, we know that, you know, you used to go to the doctor and the doctor used to take his mortar and pestle and break up a bunch of leaves or herbal products, crush it and tell you to drink it. So there is no doubt that medications help to solve issues. But why are you taking the drug? How is it going to help? And what is the risk to that drug? And you talk about oncology. Your risk at that point when you have cancer is to treat the cancer. So my risk of taking this drug could be death, but my benefit to taking the drug could be extra time. Whereas if I don't take the drug, what happens to me? Does the cancer progress much faster? So you have to understand these things. And that's the issue. We don't feel like we need to know. Like, it's not our responsibility to know. But whose is it then? It isn't the system's responsibility. It's your responsibility to know your body and to understand these things. And the good thing about that is you can look things up. And the point of looking things up is not to have the answer. You didn't go to school for 15 years. I didn't go to school for 15 years. The answer is, you find out more information, you go back with knowledge and ability to ask the questions so that you can feel better about that equation of risk versus benefit. My son was 10 and he had really, really bad issues with his nose. He was eating like, because he couldn't even breathe when he was eating. And the doctor's like, oh, use a nasal steroid, that's going to help him. And I'm like, no. Okay, well, maybe. I'll do the benefit of the doubt. I'll try it for 2 months. If it doesn't make a difference, I'm coming back. Doesn't make a difference. I tracked how he was eating. I tracked how he was sleeping. Was he still snoring? Like, there was issues. I go back and I said, well, if this was your son, would you just put him at 10 years old on a steroid for the rest of his life? Or is there some kind of intervention that we can make here where we remove the excess issue and then he breathes better the rest of his life? And he says, well, yeah, if it was my son, I'd have the surgery. Well, then that's what I'm going to do. And so then he explains the risk of the surgery. And I, as a mom, have to make the decision. What is better for him? The risk of the surgery versus taking a drug for the rest of his life that can affect his bones, that can affect his liver, that can affect his, you know, cortisol levels. Like, you know, you have to understand that. And because I'm a pharmacist, I do know what those drugs can do. But you can too. You can read about the nasal sprays or this or that. You can read about it. It's not always a quick fix. It's a start of a journey. And when we go through a treatment plan, what you start with isn't what you always end up with. It's a kitchen renovation. I always say that. You start with the renovation. You think, oh, I really want black cabinets. And then you start looking at other things and saying, I don't think I want black cabinets. I think I want to change. But then when they bring in white cabinets and you did choose black cabinets, you're like, I didn't want that. I don't like the way that looks. Well, this is your healthcare journey. It's not one solution fits all. And it's not what happened in the first month is going to be what it looks like in 12 months when you're being treated, because your body's going to change. And so is the medication on how it affects you. And so is the treatment plan. So you're constantly in this situation of progressing along. And that's no different than when you go to the gym. You, on day one, do not come out lifting 20 pounds. You might lift 2 pounds on your first day. But then in a year, you're lifting 20 pounds. So it's a process, and people become impatient because they want the drug to fix the problem so that I can get better and let's move on. Yeah, it doesn't always work that way. Sometimes when you take the drug, it creates more problems. So you really got to do the work at the beginning.
Thank you. And you know, I'm listening to you, and it is really, as you're emphasizing, is that it's our responsibility as individuals to really do the due diligence to know what we're supposed to ask and we not. I think one of the things we got into the comfort that, you know, just, you know, it's easier to go and just, you know, get whatever diagnosis and prognosis. Here's a treatment and you do it because you do feel good after that, right? I mean, at least temporary, you get fixed. And that's the thing. It's as some people will refer, it's not healthcare anymore. It's really sick care. So you're sick, you get fixed, and it's cool, right? You know, it's done. The problem is over. But the problem will reoccur because you haven't really taken care of the source of the problem. You know, I mean, the source of the problem is you just mask the effect or the symptoms of things. And like, you know, oh, I mean, it's like when you have pain, right? You put a pain management, you know, drug in your body, and like, hey, there's no pain, I can move. But the inflammation is still there. You just your brain is like, you know, not connecting to those synapses, and there's no like, hey, there's no communication. I'm cool, but at the end of the day, the problem, whatever it is still there. So whatever was eaten is still doing the work there, and so the damage can get worse. Now there's two things. I think there is definitely a movement now that we have about being healthier, being aware. And I think it's coming more with social media than ever because there is more. However, it is not enough. I mean, what you're doing right now in this discussion is really opening up the eyes of our audiences to like, we need to do more about this. I think there's not enough though. You know, I mean, I wish that the drug companies, you know, and even the big healthcare systems do more of this, you know, discussions and advocacy, you know, to teach and educate people because it's going to help them at the end of the day. Now, the question is that by intent, you know, not doing it, or is it just because they don't? We're not going to decide on that here. But those are questions that come to mind. Like, you know, why is it not enough information? We have marketing galore on TV about drugs and stuff. Why don't we not have shows about like how do, you know, some of the drugs work, some of the drugs, what we need to do, how we can prevent them? Is again, so these are the questions that people may have. But the fact is, we can't solve that problem. We're not going to be able to answer that on this show. But so individually, I think everyone should really just take this to the bank. Listen, we have the resources. We just need to do the work. And if we can prevent all of it from happening by, I guess, adopting a better lifestyle. Now, it's never too late. I had a great show where we talked about autoimmune system, you know, this other autoimmune system diseases and how the body is resilient enough to kind of work its way back, you know, and you know, even some of the experts, even with cancer and stuff like that. I mean, if you have an oxygenated, you know, body, no sugar in the body, you're not feeding the monster, you know, your body, it's basically everything. Like if there's something wrong with your body, if you feed it more of what it, you know, it takes or needs to grow, it's gonna grow. If you deprive it, it's gonna suffocate and die. You know, that I mean, that process is the same. Like if you choke someone, they're not gonna breathe. You choke whatever their source of nutrient, you know, it's not, but let's prevent that from happening by taking a better stand in our lives. Now, again, it's very difficult. I'll give you an example. We talked about your child and how this, and by the way, thank you for sharing that because that's a big one. You know, the doctor could have said, you know what, but we have option one, option two from the get-go. Now, had you not come back to him saying, no, you know, that option may not have been on the table, but, you know, someone else would have never had that. Okay, let's just do this. It feels good. We're going to keep it that. But over time, by that time, the child is 20s and 30s, they have all the other complications that like them, they may not even track back to the actual source. And that happens to a lot of people. And people sometimes they don't even know why they're sick today, but something happened 20 years ago that caused what they have today. Talking about kidney and all the stuff, you know, we have a, it's like we're like a machine, right? Everything has to operate in optimized levels. But if you're destroying things over time, you know, they're just not going to be as, listen, I'm going to give you a simple example. I've been in martial arts. You know, over the years between kicking and punching, I mean, your joints do take a beating and you're not going to do much about it. So I can solve the problem by doing maybe joint, you know, infusions and stuff like that and whatever, or I can just do healthier stuff and maybe get less impactful stuff on things and avoid surgery and drugs. But that's a choice that I have to make. But those are things you don't know what the ramifications of our behavior in 10 years. Like you talk to today to kids, right? And I include my kids in this. And I have this debate with them all the time. I share with them everything about nutrition, about the food, about this, about the cereals, about the stuff, you know. And they say, oh, Dad, you eat too much. You eat too much. I'm like, I'm just telling you what it is. Your choice, your body. One day you're going to be like, oh, my dad said this. I should have listened. Or maybe I'm wrong. You know, I would love to be wrong, but I would also not want to be right because then you'll be hurt. But it's up to people. You talk to them like about vaping. Oh, vaping is cool. Well, vaping does have damn. I mean, if the cigarettes were bad for you, you know, vaping is going to be worse. And we're just early on and we already have, you know, instances of bad things are happening to people who've, and these are just examples, you know. Nutrition, I mean, fast food, right? You know, my daughter is addicted to this stuff, and I fight with her every day about this. I can't change her mind again. And there's a reason when someone fights you against something, that's because they're addicted, and it's a fact. You know, if you tell someone that's wrong for you, whether it's a relationship, a food, or whatever, and they say, no, I love it. That's because they cannot get away from it. And there's a reason for that. That means that thing is touching their mental status, you know, whatever, their hormones or whatever, you know, nice, you know, phases of the brains and the chemicals are reacting well to it. And so therefore they don't want to stop because that feeling is going to go. And again, it's food that is addiction. And there's also, by the way, you can debunk this or you can confirm it, but you know, I've read and I've heard that the pharma companies or drug companies are also, you know, the ones who purchase, you know, some of these large industrial company food companies, and you know, like Kraft and so on and so forth. And so when you look at these things, the same scientists that were in the drug, you know, some of them are also in the food industry, and they're working on how these things react to people and get them excited about things. And that's it. I mean, you go to the movies, you can't possibly not have popcorn, right, you know, right. And the smells. And by the way, my first job was at Disney World. And, you know, there is actually a Magic Kingdom. There is, when you walk in, there is a bakery there. Like, it's not a bakery, it's like a candy shop. And literally from the outside, you can smell that stuff. And it's actually just fumes. Literally, it's artificial stuff that's in the air that actually generate your senses. And you if you're bringing kids there, the first shop they're going to go to is that store. There is no way you're going to prevent that. Because, it is science. It is not, it's amazing, but it's real. Now, people have to just be aware of, like, if I want to go there, I want to do it by choice and not because I'm manipulated. And that's really what it is. And again, these discussions are really just for you folks, if you're watching and listening, just to kind of like, maybe we will have a bald moment there, like a eureka thing that you're like, okay, kind of makes sense. Now, you don't have to agree with the discussion, folks. And that's, again, you like, this is the same discussion I'm with my family. You know, I'm just telling you, whatever you do, it's yours. I'm not in your body. If you're my kid or my wife or stuff, I have to deal with your ramifications because I'm still attached to you because I got to be with you at the hospital, God forbid, and take care of you. But if you're a stranger, you can only tell people what they, you know, what you know, and it's up to them to do the research. But hopefully we get to some people's minds to kind of make a change in their behavior and at least understand. But you're right. It's not so much about, you know, yes, I love how you said it. And by the way, I've heard that before, and it's a great concept. Yes, you do need to therapy, you know, when you need to. I mean, you cannot. When my mom was sick and she had to go with pneumonia to the hospital, they pumped her with antibiotics and steroids and stuff. And I knew the risk of all those things. But at the time, it was that or that. You know,
right.
You know, so right. because really, I mean, obviously, right. I do believe that people go in their time, but or pain, you know, like, you know, or some worst case scenario. But the fact is, you know, you agree to these protocols because you know they're going to fix the problem, at least temporary, to get the body back in motion. Right. And then you can start like looking back, like, well, what did I wrong? How do I prevent this? So we had to find out the reason why she had aspiration. So now we have to control the aspiration, and that's really where the pneumonia came, because the bacteria was in the lungs. And so now we try to prevent that. So once we know, we can do something about it. Now, if you can do something about it before you get there, that's even better. But sometimes you don't. Like,
I didn't know.
Like, I'm like, even believe it or not, the doctors could not diagnose this. It was a nurse who actually discovered it.
Right.
Because I was talking to a nurse and I mentioned some stuff to them, and he says, well, there is a diagnosis that I'm familiar with. Maybe we should check for that. Now, it was brutal because they had to put her in a diet for the day, you know, liquid diet only and blah, blah, blah. It was very difficult for her, especially with diabetes. It was a terrible, you know, 24 hours before we got that first test done, you know, because it was on the weekend. And once we get that, now she's got to shift into this different food systems, you know, which is all mushy stuff and liquid, like, you know, thickened,
Yeah,
you know,
minced
drinks.
food, right? It's all, yeah.
Yeah, it was brutal for her. It's like a change for all of us. It was like, what the hell? This is difficult to live with. Then eventually they, you know, it's only the water. Like, you know, if you can drink water without the food, then it's okay. And so that changed the stuff. So it's better now. But had we not discovered this, it would have been, you know, this, it could happen again and we wouldn't even know this, right? But so again, you have to get to this point. And sometimes surgery and all these things can be life-saving.
That's
But
right.
they're not supposed to be the first source of the app. If you can all prevent all the stuff, that's really it. I mean, preventative care is something that we're all supposed to seek and be aware of. And I think we've lost that too. People get, you know, I mean, even in our world of managed care here in the States, it kind of started because people went to the doctors for everything, right? You know, and, well, not even doctors, they went to the emergencies. They wait until they get sick and they wind up in the ER. As a matter of fact, it's funny, you talked about like how people try different drugs and stuff and I don't like it, didn't do anything, you go. That kind of was one of the concepts where people get sick, they get a flu, they go to the doctor, they give them a prescription, whatever, it's not working. The next day, I mean, the flu can go by itself in a week, you know, it depends on your body. But if you go the first day and pick up a couple of pills and they don't do anything for you, then you go to another doctor and another doctor. So you go to three doctors, five medications later, and the flu is gonna be, would have been gone without it, but it cost the healthcare system. And so that's kind of like some of the reasoning behind managed care and controls and stuff. And but the idea is, you know, we don't need to do that. We need to just, if we adopt a good healthy food, good diet, good stuff, and do our own research for everything, we should be able to prevent a lot of things. And that's all there is. Again, it is our job as individuals to do this. So thank you so much. I mean, you've covered quite a bit of the good stuff there, and it makes a big difference. Now, in terms of the, this is something I've heard that, you know, you can just kind of help us understand it. So when the drugs are out, you know, there is a trial phase, and I heard there's multiple phases. What is that process? And it is true. Is it true that really phase four is really where the public is being tested? Is that even a thing?
Well, there's what's regulated, and what's regulated are those clinical trials that they have to produce, where there are clinical trials before the drug is put into market with, you know, what we call basically the human clinical trials, where humans then get the medication and it's tested to see what happens. Does it fix whatever the problem was that they're trying to fix with the medication? And what are the side effects? And what are the, you know, adverse reactions that could happen? Yes. The fourth phase and the fifth phase and the sixth phase is time. What happens in real world is not what necessarily happens in the clinical trials. You remember, in the clinical trials, the people who are getting the medication are compared to people who don't have the medication. So the people who are getting the medication, they're being dosed where someone is actually giving them the pill. It's being monitored. Yes, they took the pill at 10 a.m. Yes, they took it with food. So it's also, in a lot of ways, in the ideal situation when it's being tested. So that's why when the drug comes out, and I said there's rules, it says take it with food. Now, when it goes out to market, some things, now you're talking about, okay, a clinical trial maybe with what, 1,000 people? Now it goes to market to millions, if not billions of people. You're going to see different things, right? You're going to see people, because everyone's different. Someone's taking it with a herbal product, someone's taking it with supplement, someone's not taking it with food, someone's taking it with three other medications that they shouldn't be. So now you're going to have all of these other side effects and adverse reactions that get reported, and now you get a better idea of what does this drug do. And we have that happen where medications go out into the public based on the subset of rules that gives them the DIN number. Now it's stamped, it's allowed to go onto a drugstore shelf, doctors allowed to prescribe it, people start taking it, and then they find out, oh, you know what, this is happening, so do we take it off the market? Or the other thing that happens sometimes is, wow, this medication that's for your heart works really well for men, and it causes other things. And it's like, wow, okay, well, now the drug
Side
is
effect.
going, right? The side effect is something that's actually beneficial, that we can actually take this drug and maybe reduce it, take it back into clinical trials, and have it do something else. So you know, there's a medication that grows eyelashes. Well, it was an eye drop to begin with, right? So it was an eye drop, and the people, you know, and they went out into the market, all of a sudden these people who were using these eye drops were getting these big, long, beautiful eyelashes. And it was like, what? Eyelashes, eyelash growth. Oh, let's just take that drug back and now let's repackage it and make it for eyelash growth. And that's how that medication was figured out. There's other medications that go out to market. Oh, there's a lot of people who are having strokes. Why are these people having strokes on this medication? Sure enough, people are having strokes as a side effect from this medication pulled from the market. So we had anti-inflammatories, they're COX-2 inhibitors that were causing problems with the circulation of the blood. And then what ended up happening was people were having strokes. So it was pulled off the market, right? So yes, there is a fourth, a fifth, a sixth, a seventh, an eighth phase. Once it goes out to public, we call that evidence-based science. So evidence-based is not clinical trials. Clinical trials is, you know, in a lab, it's controlled. The patients who take the medications are controlled. You don't have as many women or elderly people in these clinical trials. So now you're giving this drug that you studied on an 18 or 25-year-old male to a female who's 68. That's going to probably look a little different. And so that's when we get what we call evidence-based practice. There are some medications that we use that sometimes are what we call also off-label, that really no drug company studied that drug can be used for that. But we've seen in experience and in evidence that this medication works really well for this. So it's called an off-label drug. And so there is a lot that goes on when people in the masses take the medications versus the clinical trials. So you can make that a conspiracy theory and say, oh, well, that's the real trial when it comes out to public. Well, yeah, that's logical. When you're testing on 1,000 people versus on millions of people, you're going to see different things. When you're testing on 18 to 25-year-old males and now you're giving it to a 73-year-old female, that's going to look different. So what does that look like? We have the base to know how the drug works, who it should be for, and why. And that's the important piece of it. And when we talk about the advocacy piece and the communication piece and the education piece, it's your treatment plan. You have a treatment plan. It's called a healthcare journey because it doesn't happen overnight. It is a journey. So the drugs that are available to you have a subset of information and knowledge. How it's going to affect you is going to determine your journey. So that in a long way to explain it, yes, it's logical that once it goes out to the masses, you're going to see more. We don't test on millions and millions of people. The drug would never be marketed if that happened.
Well, thank you. I mean, it's a beautiful way of breaking it down. I mean, it's a fact. And, you know, again, you either have the drugs or not have the drugs. So, I mean, that's kind of, I mean, I think everything is a choice. And sometimes, you know, it's part of the deal, right? I mean, it could be, as you said, food too. We have foods that actually are put in the market and pulled back from the market, right? You know, for whatever reason, contamination and so on and so forth. But, you know, it's funny because you talk about the eyelashes. I mean, metformin is for diabetes, right? And now there's studies that it's actually anti-aging and it's, you know, skincare and all the stuff. And it's becoming a little bit more of that. Hey, listen, I mean, you know, some people can say it's bad for your health, but then now they have a side effect that is positive for a different purpose. So again, I'm not endorsing the drug, but I'm just telling you what, you know, some of the discoveries here. It's interesting. But here's a question for you now. And I know we've exceeded our time, but now AI is the new thing. Do you see in the world that you're in that it will have some sort of an impact, you know, to assist in maybe reducing some of the problems and the risk? Because, I mean, it's quicker, I think, in terms of the analysis. You can ask AI right now anything. It can probably just kind of read the whole information that's available on Google and any other source and spit it out to you like in 2 seconds in one concise, you know, definition word. So is that something that you think is going to help us maybe be better and, you know, kind of find some more of this stuff, or maybe it'll be just confused as well?
You know, actually, I am really looking forward to some pieces of AI in medicine because, number one, it will actually also help in determining how certain chemicals could be made. So AI will have a role in manufacturing, in the whole, you know, a chemist trying to figure out, you know, if this pathway is working and why, AI will have an ability to also spit out, you know, you should try these, you know, 20 chemicals and see what happens there. So there's going to be, right from the manufacturing, AI involved. What I'm really looking forward to is replacing Dr. Google with your own signs and symptoms that you've tracked to kind of give you a suggestion of some of the things that potentially you could be facing or having and some of the solutions to that problem. So that is something that I personally would love to be able to access. And then even like we have in our pharmacies, you know, with our software systems that have evolved, because now you have, you know, over 20,000 medications on the shelf. No pharmacist is going to remember, I don't care how smart we are or can be or would be, is going to remember every single chemical reaction or drug interaction that can happen. You put it into the software and it'll come out and say, this is significant. But if you put in all of the other information, like their age, their weight, you know, female, male, like all the different components, you know, their white blood cell count is this. Well, what would this drug potentially do? And we have some things like pharmacogenomics, where we look at your DNA and say, this drug is going to work better for you, or this drug won't do anything for you, because now we can check how your body's DNA is. So the more knowledge, the more specialization that we can get for you yourself, your own body, I think the better. And I'm a proponent of knowledge is always the best solution to things. And so more knowledge equals better care. That's the way I look at it.
I love it. And by the way, you're right. And because I already had this discussion with, again, someone that works in the lab, you know, in the research and also the safety and kind of in the research part. And, you know, they said that they already have systems that actually do that. They kind of work these magical formulas and to see like the interactions of the chemicals and stuff and how they work and, you know, before the final molecules are designed. So it is happening. And I love what that's actually going to be the best ideal thing. Like everybody can have their own genome, you know, the 316 done and all the stuff. I mean, I had a great show with a scientist, you know, who actually does, you know, like a science approach to your genome, and they do all different testing for your, you know, real basic elements of life. And then you can determine all your potentials, right? You know, good, bad, ugly, and all stuff. And you can certainly, if you know about them, you know what roads to take and not to be, you know, stuff. So if you use that to your point with an AI and kind of give it all the database of all the different interactions that can happen, as you said, I mean, you already have this technology. So if everybody has their own identity, you know, placed in into this particular database. So again, maybe you can, you know, venture into this, or maybe someone watching, you know, can maybe someone is already working on it, who knows, right? But it would be ideal that to little, like, it's your personalized, you know, check. You put a piece of blood in there, you know, the lab, you know, gives you all the stuff, and then you'll have your nice little diagnosis and prognosis, I would say, of all the different things that can go wrong and when and how and what to prevent. And, you know, maybe how that would be awesome. I mean, it would be like the next phase of evolution in terms of medicine and drug interactions. So again, you know, I'm fascinated by AI, although there's a lot of skeptics about, you know, the concept of AI can go wrong and stuff. And I mean, soon enough, we're going to have, you know, AI in your home and taking care of business, you know, and you, I mean, I'm sure you've watched the Tesla stuff, you know, the demo and the auto stuff. But, you know, it's funny because I just read literally that in China, they have the first AI, you know, robotic hospital that was fully, you know, non-human. And it kind of worked, I guess, at over 90%, you know, and now it can be marketed. I mean, again, that's China. So, I mean, I'm not, that's them, but around the world, you know, different countries have different research and stuff. And I think it's just a matter of time before we have that same, you know, if not more. Now, what it means to jobs and stuff, there's always that discussion. I mean, can it analyze faster than a human? I think you're right. I mean, we can be as, you know, smart as we can be, but there's only, I mean, the information is there, but like to bring it out the way as fast as, you know, an AI does, because you ask a prompt to ChatGPT, it will give you, you know, 10 versions if you want. Like, can you switch this? And you're just going to do it. If I have to think about it, it's going to take me days to actually put in the same concept, right? So it's just the way it is. It's just fast information that is accessed, you know, quickly and given to you in a split second. So it's important. So thank you for doing that. Well, listen, I mean, we could spend more time, and I know, you know, I've taken a lot of your morning there, but yeah, please, you know, anything that you want to just, you know, kind of leave our audience with, you know, I mean, you've given us already great stuff, but something that is really take to the bank. And I think you mentioned a few things, maybe something else.
I think the way that I break down your journey in healthcare is three simple steps, and it's easy to remember. A for advocate, C for communicate, and E for educate. This is how you do your ACE in healthcare. Because with advocate, you ask the questions, you don't be scared. With communicate, you provide the clear reporting of your health situation. You figure out, you track your symptoms, the severity, you try and get yourself with as much knowledge of your picture. And with educate, you do your, you know, your resources, you look at them from credible resources, you do your work, you ask your questions, you go back and ask your questions, you make a list of the questions you have. And you also, you know, look at the treatment plan, you monitor it, you watch for mistakes. You know, if the doctor said it was 300 milligrams of gabapentin, when you go to the pharmacy, you confirm it's that. So that's what I think is a good way to navigate the healthcare system, is using your ACE. Put those three principles as your pillars, and prevention and that knowledge that you do the, in the same way, right? Your advocacy, your communicate, your educate. It doesn't matter what system, whether it's prevention systems, whether it's herbal product system, natural path system, physio systems, or doctor or hospital. Doesn't matter where you access your healthcare. Those three key principles is what I found as a patient safety officer, and in my own experience of being a pharmacist behind the counter, helps people navigate easier. That's your tool.
I can tell you, I think you just gave us the title for the show. It's your health.
That's right.
I love it. I mean, I think, you know, we don't have to go creative more. I mean, that's a powerful message right there. Who doesn't want to ace their health, right? I mean, really. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, thank you so much. I mean, it's a great concept, and it's very simple. I mean, in a way, you know, it's funny. Simple things, you know, are the most powerful things. And sometimes we look so far away and it's all there. It's not, it's something that everybody knows how to do too. It's just a matter of practice and acting on them. So thank you so much. I mean, I had a great time, you know, in this discussion, and thank you for really, I mean, you've covered a lot of things without going, you know, on a tangent, you know, and touch on the political stuff. So it was good. We covered it, you know, a very smooth diplomatic way. And I think it's perfect. Message is clear to people, the audiences. This is our healthcare, you know, and this is our health. It's our priority. And, you know, yes, drugs are part of our lives, and we just need to know how to operate with them. And our healthcare is part of our lives, and we need to operate with them. So thank you so much, Lydia, for being with us today. It was great. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I hope we can keep making sure that even if one person kind of gets better because of this, then it's all worth it for me.
Oh, you said it. I mean, I love that. One person at a time. That's all we can do. And if we can do that, it can make a difference. Now, how people can reach out to you, like, you know, and, you know, any of services that you have, you know, that where people can really work with you.
So I'm starting the whole social media thing. So on Instagram, it's at Lydia Molinera. And then on my TikTok, it's at Lydia the RX. That's kind of where I provide more tidbits and break down certain things, especially on the educate pieces of things and questions to ask. And if you're in a situation, and I also showcase what people do and really what happens in certain situations so that people understand, you know, how, oh, I'm in the same situation. How should I navigate it? So I'm trying to get that education piece out there as well, so people understand. I do. I just started a podcast called Take Care with Meds podcast, where we have guests come on who've experienced their healthcare journey and some of the tips that they provide as patients as well, which were kind of the people that come into the pharmacy and the stories that I would hear. I figured, you know, it's really good for these stories to come out in order for people to reflect, or maybe they can take some pieces away from that so that they can ace their healthcare journey in the end too.
Well, thank you. I mean, so folks, there you have it. I mean, you know, I'll have the links. So at least, you know, the social media, you're, you know, an advocate, you know, on those platforms. And I think people do love these things, so they'll have access to it. So I'll share as much as I can, you know, whatever you post out there. So we can share more of this stuff. And certainly your podcast is a great, you know, formula to share more, as you said, of those testimonials and experiences from live people. So thank you so much for the work you do. And, you know, keep it up, as you said, one person at a time. I think you're touching a lot of persons at a time, you know, and hopefully millions and millions, and slowly but surely we can get people educated on how to navigate and do better for themselves. All right, folks, this is the end of the show. I hope you enjoyed our discussion. It was fun and, you know, definitely productive in terms of information and how to do better for ourselves, right? So I'm Harry Ganesh. We'll be talking soon. New day, new show on the topic. Bye for now.